Welcome to the Best Kept Secrets podcast, where we share our best kept secrets about life, love, God, and everything in between.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Best Kept Secrets podcast season 2. I am so excited to be back. We took not so short of a break, but we're back with a brand new season, brand new guests. And as you all know, on this podcast, we usually share our best kept secrets about all things life. And today I have a really, really, really amazing guest with me. She is the founder and CEO of Zia Africa. She also happens to be a friend, and she has just come off of a fresh launch of her first flagship store, which is located at Village Market. I am actually wearing one of their pieces today, and she's going to share with us her journey on business, entrepreneurship, and a lot more. So Zippy, welcome.
Thank you.
Should I call you Zippy or Zia?
Zippy.
Okay, yeah. Fine. You know, people know you as Zia, so I want to keep that going.
Yeah, but we are friends.
Yeah, so nice to have you.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah. You're our first guest for this season. And I specifically wanted to shoot with you because I really wanted to share more on just entrepreneurship and right. business. I think a lot more people are getting into this space or in this space, but you know, they are confused or they lack guidance or you know, lack inspiration. And I think your journey, because I've been honored to see your journey, has been amazing in my eyes. So I would love for you to share with us.
I can't wait to share because I have so much to say.
So start us off, tell us where it all began.
Okay. So I remember it in two ways. Every time I see this story, honestly, it's different.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly such a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up and loving fashion. I remember dressing my sisters. I remember dressing my mom. I remember buying like this bright orange Cinderella dress that I wore everywhere I went when I was riding my bike to church. It had a hat and matching shoes.
Oh, cute.
I know. It was so cute from exhibitions.
I used to buy things from there all the time. Okay, not me, my mom.
I knew at that point, like, I really like looking nice, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And then I loved the feeling when I dress my sisters and my mom, and they also feel nice. So I remember when I was in Daystar, a friend of mine, Nyawera, and I went to Gikomba. Those 5 a.m. runs, and we're like, hey, things are cheap.
Yeah. And we can make some money.
So she was in Strathmore, I was in Daystar. We got a few things and started selling. And then I was privileged to travel. And my sister lives in Australia. So when I went there, I was just seeing there's so much variety. Things are affordable. Things are nice. In Kenya at that time, it was the time for Nairobi uniform. Dude, at that time, there was this tribal print dresses. I don't know if anyone...
I had that.
You had it?
I remember
So there was just not much variety. So when I went there and I saw like a whole world of like clothes and different styles, different quality, I was like, let me try bring them back home and see if they will sell. So my sister and I started a Facebook page at night. I remember we're like, okay, let's just try and open it and see what happens in the morning. If guys are followed, like, we do this thing, you know. And we called it Zia because we're like, I think my friends will see and then follow because it
they know you.
Yeah, so we did that. The next day we woke up, we had 500 followers, which was very exciting because Facebook.
Back then, like, that's a lot.
We're like, what? So I started selling. Now, at this point, there was no online. There was no online, like, Instagram there right now. It's full of businesses. The only businesses that were there were Miss Carrie and Kidosho.
I remember
So I was
them,
drawing a lot of my inspiration from them. And then I remember... there was also no borders, which meant that I was doing the deliveries. So I used to sit in town at Nakumat Lifestyle. I'd put my friends on rotation. Like, I'll buy you a soda. Just come with me on Sato. We sit from 11 to 1. I sit outside the bathrooms. People come and try the clothes.
Really?
Imagine. And it was in those two paper bags, those black polythene paper bags. Mm. They try on in the bathroom, like, oh, it didn't fit, or oh, it fits. They pay and they go.
That's so interesting because I was also an Akumat lifestyle babe, but me, I was there for different reasons.
I was bashing.
you're making money.
Mm-hmm. So after a few months, I was like, okay, this is a lot of work. I'm in school here, and maybe I can start inviting guys to my house. Mm-hmm. Now, when I look back, I'm like, that was so risky because I didn't know guys.
Yeah, these are strangers. Yeah.
So my mom would be nice. She would make tea. Yeah. They would come and try on clothes in my room. Yeah. People would come to my room. Yeah. In fact, I have so many friends from that time because you end up finding out that this person is going for a wedding. You know, what do you do? Mm. You now have each other's numbers. Mm-hmm. So I did that for some time. But after a few years, I was looking for more. As I grew, I also wanted better quality. Mm. So I started looking at how can I start tailoring locally? How can I be more in control of the quality that I put out? Mm-hmm. So I remember, I think the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of uncertainty around importing. Mm. So I was like, okay, God, if this is what you want me to do, I'll just have to do it because I'm not going to close my business. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So
I remember you, sorry to cut you off.
No worries.
I remember you had opened a physical store and then you closed it, right?
So I had opened a physical store and the pandemic happened and I freaked out, to be honest. I was just like, I don't know if I can keep up with the rent. I don't know if guys are going to come. Mm. That time we're on lockdown. So no one came. Like March, the whole of March, like literally we're just doing deliveries. Mm. So I was like, let me close. Mm. And then I see, let me restrategize and figure out what am I going to do from here. So at that point now, importing was difficult. I was like, okay, let me do some research on local production. Mm. And around the same time, you reached out to me.
I did. Yes. Okay. I think now I can share my POV.
Yeah.
We met in Daystar.
Right.
There was an event. I remember what the event was for, but I remember what I was wearing.
I even may remember what you were wearing. A white dress.
A white dress. Yeah. It had like two little black flowers. Yeah.
And heels.
And heels. What was the event for?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
But it was like a fashion thing,
right?
Yeah.
So you came up to me and you were like, yeah, so I hear you're an influencer.
Yeah.
I have a brand. Could we partner?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, all of these things. So now you used to give me when I had a blog, because that's how I started in the influencer space. I started off as a fashion blogger. This was like in 2015, right? Like kitambo. but then because a lot of my clothes were thrifted.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I wouldn't have content. So for me, from my POV, I was like, yes, please, I need the clothes.
Yeah.
I need the content. I need all of that.
Yeah.
So you'd give me Zia clothes and then I'd shoot, I'd whatever, I'd do my blog. And then it was like a mutually beneficial partnership we had going on. So when I had, I think I agree with you in terms of, even me as a child, I knew fashion was my thing. Mm. I loved dressing up.
Right.
I loved playing dress up. I loved putting outfits together.
Yeah.
In fact, my mom used to get so annoyed with me because she'd buy me clothes. I'd cut them up, trying to make something new out of it. Make a crop top.
Yeah.
Make like a one hand thing.
And then sometimes they're not wearable.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just like, I buy clothes. Yeah. You tear them. You cut them up. But like, I've always known. Yeah. Fashion was my thing from very early on, and that's what gave me confidence. And I'd walk into a room and I'm like, maybe I might not be super confident, but I know no one here is beating my outfit. You know what I mean? Like,
no one here
is outdressing me, even though, you know, so that was what fashion did for me. So I think in 2020, right?
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah, 2020, I... After many failed attempts of doing business on my own, I was like, you know what? I think it would be great to collaborate with another brand just so I can learn the ropes, just so I can actually create something from scratch and put it out. And you were the first person that came to mind. I was just like, there's no one else I'm going to do this collaboration with other than you.
Yeah.
So I reached out, and then that's how you started the Made in Kenya.
Yeah. Because I remember when you reached out, I was like, this is so timely.
Yeah.
Because I was not sure how to go about it. So I was like, okay, we can continue this route, though I'm not certain. Mm-hmm. Or we can try something new and create something beautiful together. Mm-hmm. So I remember you were like, let's definitely do Made in Kenya.
Yeah.
And let's design them together and pick out the design.
From scratch. Yeah,
exactly. From scratch. I remember we went and sourced for fabric in Eastleigh.
We had no idea where to go. Just being told, when you go to that building, go left, then go.
First of all, we went to the wrong building. Yeah. It was just
spent a lot more money than we should have. Yeah.
So that happened. And actually, I've remembered while you were talking, there was this citizen situation.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. We did an interview.
We manifested it. Do you know that? Because, okay, so Sharon reached out to me.
Yeah.
And you were like, I've gotten an opportunity for us to go on Citizen Fashion Watch, but we're going as fashion designers. At that time, that was like 2015, we had no idea.
Nothing.
About design or production or anything.
Nothing.
And we called our friends to model for us. I had like 5 clothes. Yeah. It was so crazy.
Yeah, we had Beata, Candy, Daisy, Nyawera.
We manifested it all.
We really did. Honestly, sorry to Citizen. All those things were bold-faced lies.
I know, because she was like, this is media. We're like,
But they were not. They were all imported.
God, I know.
I remember Ian Bogu were looking at the tag on my dress to look if it's like Zia or whatever. It was not.
It was not? Oh, God.
It was just it wasn't even a Zia dress, that's a thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but like we said that we were both wearing Zia and all of us. Yeah.
Oh, it was not a Zia dress.
It wasn't a Zia dress, no. It was just like an imported dress I had.
Anyway, look at us now. Okay. Now we are making our own clothes. So 2020 we did that collaboration with the photo shoot. It was wonderful. And then I remember we were working with a manufacturer.
Yeah.
And for me, the frustration I had at that point was how little control I had
over the process.
Yeah. I used to feel like I'm not a priority. They'd say maybe we'll deliver in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, they're like, oh, so
nothing.
You know this.
Yeah.
So I used to be like, ah, these guys are slowing me down. And, you know, I've gotten momentum. So my designer reached out to me. We started talking. I remember I just decided this is what I'm doing. So I called my customer care lady and I told her like, hey, let's look for a location. And then I told the designer, you're going to start on this date. So we didn't have any machines. We didn't have anything. But I'm just like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So we found a location and we just started. Like we just now started looking for machines. Now the designer has come. We went to look for machines. We went to look for tailors. She helped me get tailors. And now we're producing. So I remember how scary it was. At the same time, it was very exciting because my sister had just passed. So I felt like I owed it to her to really push with this thing because she had seen it from like nothing.
Inception.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, let me just do it for her. Let me like get over my fears, be courageous, seek counsel. So that's when I started really working with my mentor, Sue. She really helped me set up Ziawa, like in terms of systems.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know, especially like in terms of production, like how it should work.
Yeah.
You know, things, simple things like quality control. Because my background is not in fashion.
Yeah.
Even you
I
as
can't
well.
Tailor. You put me on a machine, I know nothing.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. So I can't do patterns. I can't. Yeah.
You know, now I've had to learn.
You had to learn.
Yeah. So it's been so awesome, especially working with Barbara. Barbara, shout out to you, girl. She's really walked me through even sketching. I'm not even a good artist, but she's like, okay, I have a design in mind, but I need to help me put it like
into like a physical sketch. Yeah.
So that's been awesome.
Can we, because I feel like that place where you are at with the fear.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of people get to, and they get stuck there, and yeah. they're not able to push beyond the fear and do this thing that they know they want to do.
Yeah.
So how did you actually like decide, okay, I'm scared.
Mm.
What were the thoughts you were having then, and how yeah. did you overcome those thoughts?
Okay, so I think for one, working with God is very mm-hmm. helpful, because when you're walking in obedience,
mm-hmm.
there's comfort mm. and surety you feel
yeah.
that even if it doesn't work out,
mm-hmm.
God has my back and mm-hmm. it's still part of his plan.
Mm.
So I had to decide, mm-hmm. I'm going to trust
yeah.
his plans. Mm-hmm. And even if it doesn't work out the way I think it's going to work out, it's mm-hmm. still going to work out in the mm-hmm. way he wants it to work out.
Exactly.
That's one.
Yeah.
Number two, having mm-hmm. a good support system.
Because mm-hmm.
I remember like talking to my husband, talking to say my parents mm-hmm. or my siblings, and mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, this is the decision I want to make.
Mm.
And never once did they ever say like, that's not a good decision mm. or, you know, you're not capable
yeah.
or any other thing. And anytime I'd meet somebody who'd tell me that I'm not capable or mm-hmm. it's not possible, I'd just never tell them about my plans mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
Imagine that's the way you move. Because
mm.
you want people who are goal-oriented, yeah. who dream.
Mm.
I have very good neighbors. Lady Luck. I don't know if you know Lady Luck.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
She really worked with me because she is so fearless. Like mm-hmm. during the pandemic, they were opening shops. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
You're not closing. You're opening.
Then they're like, yeah. they're here to thrive. They're not mm-hmm. going to, you know, back down. So just working with people who are big dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also just believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me, I don't know, you were saying you're not confident.
Mm-hmm.
For me,
mm-hmm.
you were not.
Back then, I wasn't, yeah.
Now, for me, I always felt like I was so mediocre. Like, I used to feel like I'm just going to be, like, there. Like, you know, just, like
yeah, breeze like through disappear life. In
this. Yeah.
yeah. Mm.
And I never felt like people are like, oh, you can do it. Or I had to do that for myself.
Mm.
And then people caught up.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, does that then make
they
sense?
Went... Yeah, they were like, oh, she's doing it.
Yeah. So she can do
it. Yeah.
So I think believing in yourself is a big one. You just have to. And one of the ways I've really, really forced myself to believe in myself is affirmations. I do a lot of affirmations. And anytime I do affirmations, there's a prep in my step, you know? You just know, like, okay, I am loved. I am rich. I am capable. I am everything that, yeah. God has called me to be.
Yeah.
Mm.
I like the obedience one because I feel like I can relate with that, because I feel like I've always known that I was going to work in fashion or have a fashion business.
Yeah.
But then it was so scary for me because, again, like, I don't have any background in fashion. I just have a love for it. And then two, I've never had to run a business before, you know. So when I quit my job in 2017 to pursue this thing, I was just like, okay, God, like, what's up?
Yeah.
But, you know, there were so many clear indications of, this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And it took me 3 years because I launched in 2021.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I think 2021. Because I launched in 2021, it took me 3 years, 4 years even to just like, you know, I had done a few attempts, I had failed at it. And if I had never obeyed this instruction God had gave me in 4 years before that, Epiphany would have never existed. I would have never had to learn how to run a business. I would have never produced these clothes that I see people wearing. You know what I mean? It's just, I feel like there's so many people who have been given instruction, but they just sit on it. They're like, no, me, I'm scared. And you do feel the fear. Even when you start, you're still scared. You're still like, okay, what am I doing? You know, that day is like, I would wake up, I'm like, hiya, I have a business to run.
Even now.
It's still so scary.
Right.
But I feel like if God has given you an instruction, it's because he's seen the end of it. He knows. he knows what the end of it is. Right. So it's just up to you to just like obey. Trust him. Literally trust him. Mm. Yeah. Because I'm just, I mean, if you trust him with like your life and
right,
yeah, then what is a business compared to it? Yeah. You as a person, do you feel like you've had to make changes within you as a person to help you run the business better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For one, I remember in, was it January of maybe 2020 or 2021?
Mm-hmm.
I just made the decision to join the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, joining the gym was a way of me building discipline.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. Okay.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a baby. Okay.
Mm.
Because you're just like, honestly, hey, how am I going to make it? You know?
Yeah.
So I remember I said, I'm going to join the gym and I'm going to go at 5 because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's the only time I would get to myself. Mm. The rest of the day, your mom, your wife,
your baby is awake.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
You're an entrepreneur.
Mm.
So for me, that time between 5 and 7, my God, I grew so much. That's when I would do my affirmations. That's when I do my quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the rest of my family is waking up, I'm already so, I don't know, centered.
Mm.
Like I'm ready to take on whatever
the day
is going to bring. So that really helped me even work-wise because I had more time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with being self-employed or being an entrepreneur, you have to decide like, okay, I need to send out these emails. I need to do X, Y, Z. I need to plan for a photo shoot or whatever. And no one's going to push you to do it. So if you don't have discipline,
there's no boss on your neck.
There's no boss on your neck. So sometimes, like for me, I try to put out collections monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that it's reached 15th. You've not even started the collection for the next month.
Yeah.
So it was...
You have no fabric, nothing. Yeah.
You've not even started sampling.
Mm.
So discipline is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I think spending time with God is also a big one because you face so many challenges. There's so many adversities in the world. Every day there's a new challenge in business, in life, in everything.
Yeah.
The country.
Yeah. The economy.
The economy.
Yeah.
So I think like just grounding yourself in Christ is a big one as well.
Yeah.
And working with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's internal, but it helps when you're surrounding yourself with positive vibes, positive mindsets, people who want the same things, want you to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
You encounter people who act like they want you to prosper, but the actions they take,
it's just dodgy.
Like, hey, is this person really for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think those are the three things.
That's great because I feel like I also decided to join the gym for the same reason.
Yeah.
I didn't really go in for my body. I was just like, I have issues with discipline.
Mm.
And everyone knows that the gym is a great place to build discipline.
Yeah.
So it's just, and there's a quote about how discipline is the highest form of self-love.
Yeah.
Right? It means that... And for me, self-love is keeping promises to myself, right? It's showing myself that you matter to me.
Yeah.
So when I make promises to you, I keep them, right?
Yeah.
So when I wake up every day and I don't want to go, but then I show up and I do something for myself, it shows me, my brain, myself, that I matter, that that I value myself, I value this thing that we're trying to do. So I've been going, I think, for like 7 weeks now.
Nice.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the gym.
Yeah.
Every day when I go, because I don't go every day, I go 3 times.
Mm.
Those 3 days that I go, I have the most productive days.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can conquer the world.
Endorphins.
Yeah, the endorphins. I'm like, give it to me.
What? I know.
See what? Ah, that one I can do. You know what I mean? So I feel like if you are going to get to a higher level, you can't stay the same person.
Mm.
Right? Because I even think back to Sharon from 17, 18, when I got this instruction to do this business versus who I am now, even who I was in 2021 when I actually opened the business, two completely different people. And I shared in one of the episodes in the last season about how the main thing was just my really bad money habits. I had horrible money habits. And I was just like, okay, God, and you're trusting me with a business.
I know.
Where the main, like one of the main things is that you make money from this thing.
Right.
You know, I've had to learn so much about money. I've had to build discipline around money.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah, building. Yeah, exactly. Because your business relies on this money to make things happen. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely agree with the discipline one. So what do you feel like has been the biggest thing, or like maybe three things that you've learned to in your journey? Because how many years has it been now since?
It's been 10 years. 10 this year. Years. Next month, it's going to be your 10th anniversary. Years.
Wow. Yeah. That's, hey.
I know.
How do you call? I thought they've got 2 years.
Oh, I know. But, but it goes so fast,
it
by
goes
the way.
So fast, yeah.
In 10 years. In 10 years, what are the three things I've learned? I'm trying to think of the most important. I might just say the ones
just
that are coming.
Just say all of them. Tell us everything you want to learn.
Okay, let me say, from now going backwards, based on like what's coming to my mind first, I think in terms of building the right team, you have to get people who have bought into your vision. Especially in our industry, because it's very creative based. So if you guys don't have the same ideas or the same direction or the same goals, it's very hard to go to where you're trying to go to reach that destination. Number two, I'd say walk with God. Because I remember at the beginning of this year, now we're a sustainable brand.
Yes.
And for me, I entered this year, I was like, okay, God, I've been doing this thing for 10 years. I'm tired of doing the same thing. I don't want to just make people look nice. I don't want to just dress people. I want to have impact. Show me how I can have an impact through fashion. And my background is in development. I did comm dev.
Oh, you did? I did.
So I already was empowering women through... employing women. But I wanted more. So I remember sustainability is something that I'd heard of before. But this year it came to me so strongly, like this is the direction you need to go to have the impact that you're trying to have. And just trusting God, because it's something, first of all, there's not so much information on it. All the information I was getting was international. Here, locally, it's not well known. You know where to get fabrics. You don't know anything. So just trusting God. Okay, is this the right decision? Is this, you know, the direction I'm supposed to go? So just walking with God is a big, big, big one for me. And I think comparison is...
Ooh, that's a big one.
It is.
Yeah.
I think... being comfortable in your brand, who you are, what you bring to the table, and not comparing yourself with other brands. Kwanza, our market is so saturated. If you start saying, Atinani released a collection last Nini, this person has opened here, this person, you'll never be your own person. You know, you'll be trying to chase and you'll always be a step behind. So like for me, one of the biggest things I try to do is just do what I like. Okay. That's the convo we're having before this. Like at the end of the day, people like your brand because of you and what you have to offer. Epiphany and Zia, like even if say we had the same dress, they would be totally different.
So different,
So like for me, I think a big thing, especially in this social media world, like try not to compare yourself. Like I also don't look at people's stories. I really try not to. Yeah, it's a big one for me because I feel like I'll start second guessing myself. I'll start rethinking the ideas I have. I'll start, you know, worrying. And I don't need to worry. So the only people I look, the only stories I look at are people who are, I'm aspiring to be like. Like now, I was telling about Jerry Lorenzo. I like his work because it's very niche. It's very him. It's very authentic. It doesn't follow anyone. Like not on social media, but he just does his own
him
thing.
Yeah,
right. So in that sense, there's already three.
If you have more, tell us.
Okay, number four, you said it about discipline with money. I think initially, I was not good in terms of separating my business fans and my fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once I did that, it really made a difference in terms of even knowing, you know, did we make any profit? Did we break even? What did we do? How many clothes did we sell? You know, it's now you have a website, so it's easier
to track.
You can track. But now those days, or even if you don't have a website and you're running a business, it's so important to know whether you're making money.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're just having fun.
You're just having fun.
Yeah, that is not a business. Mm. So those are the major, major ones. Mm. Yeah.
I feel like I want to piggyback on the impact one.
Okay.
Because that's so important, and I don't think a lot of people think about that when they're opening a business or even when they're running a business, because I feel like just with the nature of God and how he works, yes, he wants to bless you, and yes, he wants you to prosper, and yes, he wants you to have money and all of these things, but there's things beyond money when it comes to business. There's been things beyond making money when it comes to business. It's you're offering people employment opportunities.
Right.
You're empowering women. You're being sustainable to the earth. It's, you know, you have to think about those things.
Yeah.
And that's even like a kingdom principle with how God blesses people and blesses businesses, right? So if you're doing it for selfish gain, you're like, you're like, I'm here to make money.
Yeah.
You can make money, which is good, but if you want a long-lasting legacy that follows you, it has to be impactful.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, this is also just to encourage people who feel like they have an idea and they're sitting on it. Imagine there are people waiting on employment from you. There are people who God has has ordained for you to employ.
Yeah.
There are people waiting to be impacted by whatever it is you're going to sell or whatever it is you're going to push, even if it's not a physical product.
Yeah.
So stop sleeping on it. Stop sleeping on it. Yeah,
I love
like
it.
Do it. Yeah.
I think the key is finding a balance between purpose and profit. So I think that's a sweet spot. Like once you figure that out, then you're making money at the same time you're following your purpose.
Exactly. I completely agree. I feel like one of the reasons why I even decided to take a break with Epiphany was because I needed to just realign and just figure out, okay, so what exactly are we doing? What is the purpose for this brand, right? I know you've given it to me and I know I'm supposed to do something with it, but what exactly is it, you know? And I like that sometimes purpose changes with time, right? Like for
it
you,
does.
It's at first it was, you're empowering women and now you're sustainable and you're helping the earth and all of that. So I don't know what exactly it is for us now, but I'm sure God is going to guide us and let me know.
He will.
Yeah. Even as you were talking, I've just remembered, I didn't even ask you, because you're a mom and a wife, and then you have this like business, and then you also had keto. How did you do all of that? Because me, I can't imagine.
I know. I actually watched an interview or a speech by Shonda Rhimes where she was talking about how it's impossible for women to have it all. Because when you're at work, you're feeling guilty about being at work. When you're at home, you're feeling guilty because it's something you're not doing for work.
Yeah.
So what happens is most of the time you're not present in what you're doing. And I think only women face mom guilt. I don't know if men have anything.
They don't think they have dad guilt.
They don't have dad guilt because biblically even they're supposed to provide and protect.
Yeah.
Then
so they're like, I'm doing this for my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As even now, I'm just like, okay, I need to go and pick my son.
Yeah.
You know. But I think the key is trying to be present in every moment. If you're if you're at home, be at home and be there, play with your kids, do what you need to do. And be good for them there. When you go to work, you're going to work for them anyway, you know. In my mind, I'm going to leave Zia and Dahlia. Oh, by the way, I have a baby line.
No, tell them.
So I have a baby line which is made from the offcuts of Zia Africa. It's pretty new. And when I work on those things, in my mind I'm like, okay, this is what I'm leaving for them. So that gives me some sort of comfort.
When you're at work.
When I'm at work,
Okay, that's great.
Mm. You, how do you do it all?
Do what?
You know, that question is asked to moms. Like, you guys don't do anything else. You have other things to do.
I do have other things that I do. But I think, you know, just because I have friends who are moms, I know how, you know, time-consuming being a mom is. Yeah. And not just, like, time-consuming, but also you have to give a lot of your energy into it, you know. And kids feed off of energy. They can tell, like, when you're not being fully present with them and all of that. So I just ask that because I know being a mom is not easy. Yes, I do have other things that I do.
Do you struggle in terms of, like, work-life balance?
Yes, I do struggle with finding balance in general. But I think just finding good help is, like, my biggest thing.
That's a
good
one.
So I can just, like, I can trust them to do what they need to do. And I can focus on what I need to do in other areas. And then I just, like, give things, like, I have a priority list, you know. Like, I know today my priority is this and this and this.
Yeah.
So this is what gets the most time, and then this and then that. So I just prioritize things in my mind.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then I keep it pushing. I'm like, then tomorrow, we'll figure out tomorrow when I wake up. This is what, or when I'm going to sleep, this is what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, I'm like, you know what? May I take a day at a time? That's
I love that.
Yeah, I just take a day at a time. I think maybe you can share with us what your best kept secret is about just entrepreneurship, about building a business, about, everything we've just spoken about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I talk to the camera?
Yeah, tell the people.
Let me tell the people. My best kept secret in entrepreneurship is you have what it takes, okay? A lot of the times, you feel like someone else can do it better. Someone else should be doing what you're doing. Someone else is more gifted or more talented or more deserving, especially deserving. It's you, okay? The same way you're saying that God is going to use you to employ people and create impact, it's the same way God is waiting for you to follow him, trust him, and do what he says you should do. Because I think a lot of the times, even now, I still feel like I'm undeserving. And I feel like maybe there's someone who's more qualified. But you have to just follow your instinct, follow God, follow your heart. And really actually follow through. Because I think it's so difficult. It's so difficult to overcome that inferiority complex. It's so much easier to just sit and be like, you know, someone else will do it.
Yeah. Or someone else is more deserving.
Someone else is more deserving. But it's you. It's you. Imagine.
Imagine it's you. Imagine it's you. Okay. So I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
I wrote my...
Oh, that's not fair.
I woke up.
Are you serious?
Early today. Because I was like, I've not gotten my best kept secret.
I am ready for this secret.
Anyways, mine is actually scripture. I like to share a scripture with every episode that we do. Sometimes I don't, but today I have a scripture.
I love it.
So, this scripture is from Colossians 3:23-24. It says, whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart, as if you're working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord that you are serving. And I think when I stumbled across that
scripture,
it's really guided me in how I do things, right? So I do everything with the utmost excellence that I can. Sometimes I don't always achieve excellence, but I give it my best because I'm like, I'm serving God. I'm not serving people. At the end of the day, everything that I have has been given to me by God. Like this podcast, my business, my platform, like all those followers, all of that, like, God has given to me. And at the end of it, I'm serving him. So I try to do everything with excellence because I'm like, if I'm doing it for God, I just can't, like, show up. You know, it's like if Ruto was gonna, like, give you a job, you're not just gonna just, like, show up casually to be like, I'm here, bro.
Right.
What's up? What am I supposed to do? You show up early. You show up on time. You do it with excellence. You do everything that you need to do because you're like, this is who I'm serving, right? So that's like my my so motto.
Can I get another chance to say mine again?
You can. You can.
I don't have a better one. Oh, you don't? I love it.
Yeah, but that's my best kept secret just about entrepreneurship. And I feel like it doesn't apply to entrepreneurship only. It can be literally anything. Yeah, so just do it with excellence because, you know, you're not doing it just for human beings only. You're also doing it for God. And when we die, we're going to be asked to account for things. And I'm just like,
good and faithful servant.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want God to be like, I gave you so many opportunities and you slept on them. You know, I want him to be like, you did well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, God help us. Honestly. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, thank you so much. This was like, I think the best first episode we could have possibly had. I think it set a good trajectory for the rest of the episodes to come.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, yeah, thank you for sharing all of your gems and everything with us. So you should check out Zia Africa on Instagram. They have a physical location at Village Market, first floor. They also have Dahlia by Zia, which is a baby brand. So if you're a mom and you're watching, get your baby something cute. And yeah, is there anything else I've left out?
No, that's it for now.
Oh, and Zippy's page is
Don't worry about me.
No, we have to tag you.
Okay, I'm Nandi Girl
on Instagram. Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for watching. Please share your best kept secrets with us in the comments. For those who are watching us visually and for those who are listening to us on our podcast platforms, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you or you'll hear us next week on our next episode. Bye.
Bye.